says there that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But we just come boldly before the throne of grace just to be with you. And we desire that the will of God be accomplished through us tonight. God, we don't have to be the smartest person on earth to get something done, because it's not done through our intelligence level. It's done through us hooking up with you. It's done through us having a word from God and hooking up with you and getting accomplished what you want accomplished. So God, we desire that above everything else. Father God, all of the things that I have prepared, I submit them unto your leading. Father God, you have your way in this place tonight. You have your way in this place tonight. You have your way in this nation tonight. You have your way in this world tonight. Almighty God, oh, you need a voice. You need a voice. You need a voice. You need a voice to declare what you want done. Oh, because you've given authority unto the church. Jesus, before you left, you said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, and you transferred that to us, and in a very real sense, you said, now you go and you do what I did and what I would do if I was physically there, because I am through you. And it's still done the same way. It is done the same way by the unction of the Holy Spirit. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So God, everything that we do must be by the unction of the Spirit of God. So we want to exercise authority where you want us to. Not just us doing our own thing. Not just us with our intelligence accomplishing something. No, because we won't accomplish what you want accomplished. It cannot be done in that way. It cannot be done even in that realm, because that's the realm of the soul. But the realm of the Spirit, with a word, mighty things can be accomplished. With a single word, Jesus, you said, come, and Peter was able to walk upon water. It may be that you just give us a single word, stop, and it stops things. You may give us a single word, go, and it accomplishes what you want done. So, Holy One, we have ears to hear. 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 We have hearts set upon the will of God being accomplished in this place tonight. The will of God being accomplished in the earth through your people here. On the other side of the planet, things can be stopped. Things can be begun. Things can be accomplished. Things can be fulfilled. Oh, sholom pana. Jona igan ida. Debre ge son kuduni ida. Che le to rukunkara chandalahan sambana ikeko cholo naida chekankla asteni chekankla asteni noto shondor. Just pray in the Spirit. Shondo kalina shembrahano kisite. We get into that flow with you, Holy Spirit. Nindo konyane maskidi dinankoro undalambre inze nigangi gango danze nigedete. Oh, rahanikaste. We've come together in this place tonight. We've come together in this place tonight. As they did in Acts chapter 2, in one accord and in one place. We're in one accord and in one place. And when we are in one accord and in one place, you do things. You do things. You give unto us words. You give unto us images. You give unto us that leading. And so we ask of you for that leading. Oh God, your will be done. Your will be done. Not mine. Not mine. But yours. San kidito ushe e an uginata nzemakgo te ro kanskidina. Chendono das legine ganzo negelemanite, that no shandalekene, jana ekete, that which is proceeding, that koreinde en sinekiste, stop! That which is proceeding, stop now, stop now, stop now, stop now, in the name of Jesus. Neshondoro ungamana este, that front is frozen, that front moves no further. That which was proceeding stops now. It stops now. It stops now. In ishagala, oh yeah, shanda ikenete. Oh, and just as you have said about the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not only will they won't drive us back, but we drive them back. And in the same sense, God, I have that unction from you. Not only has that front stopped, that front is being driven back now. Oh, proprosinke, 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 chukonka, chukonkanasi, cento nesigene adu ingete, jibana ugreiste, jibana ugreiste, jibana ugreiste, non zamana kikilandu ne ikiste, that spirit of attack has been thwarted now. Now. And now the spirit of attack has been given to yours, God. Oh, shankulete ni ishkana pronda asneketo, jembo na kislahan genikana aste. And a seeing and a knowing, and a seeing and a knowing, and a seeing and a knowing. A seeing and a knowing. No, we don't go there. We don't go there. We don't go there because we know. Oh, but we do go here because we know. We know. We know. Your people know. Those you are dropping within them. Oh, God, even some that are not even born again, you're making divine deposits. And they are getting it by you giving it to them. And they go where they're supposed to go. They don't go where they're not supposed to go. They have that leading of the Spirit. Even those that are not born again, Father, I thank you for that. Oh, oh, Lord God. But the angelic host... the angelic host, surrounding your people and surrounding the chosen nation of Israel and the people there. Oh, the angelic host, even becoming visible at times. And others will see and know, we better not go, we better not go. We better not go because they'll see and they'll know. Now, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Shato Kunra Sikin Ita. Chen Chakun Kotura Enesika Daben Iko Kun Saganda En Lahende Iki Andru Unch Nikakurupate. Oh, and this nation, Shantuki Kintanas to Okote, Tapra Anit Neskete, not standing back anymore. No kosanda nike, forine ekemata diska entenite. And you will bless this nation. You will bless this nation for rising up and for being obedient unto you. For being obedient unto you. Even when they don't understand, it is obedience unto God. It is obedience unto the word of God coming forth. And they, this nation, even those who only a few days ago would have said, we won't do that, they will now. Because they're being led by you. Oh, and it's not just pressure, it's not just external pressure, but they have an unction from the Holy One. Even those that don't know you, they have an unction from the Holy One, and support is being sent. Finances being sent. Oh, military being sent. Technology being sent. And a kinekan sokun kine todaraan kinite, that which the enemy tried to shkano rokin kiniato to reskinidi, to rip apart. And he did a pretty good job, nakishondoro onkete, of rending, but it was not completely torn. Oh, nishakindona ukasite, and I am binding it together once again. I am bringing it back together once again. I am knitting it together once again, declares the Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you. And nishondoro kinmaskidi daanslande ikilemono kiatra amblasne ekene eteti cheno kokotishende ekete. And you'd say, oh, but it's been bad. Oh, if you had not prayed, you don't even understand how bad it would have been. Stop looking with the natural eyes and understand in your heart, because I can do mighty things through you. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to begin a teaching tonight that will take a while to complete.
We're going to begin teaching on the book of Colossians, and we're going to be doing some verse by verse. And we'll stop along the way, and in this series of teachings, we're going to look at one of the central verses in the Bible, in my opinion, and we will see how we are and how we can live in such a place where glory is seen and recognized by those around us. Now, the verse, we'll get to it in the teaching time, but everything in this is important, and we'll lead up to that. And when we get to it, we'll spend some time on that section of Scripture. But I want to, first of all, I want to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And he says here, of course, Paul wrote this by the unction of the Holy Spirit. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us. Now, let me stop. Paul is saying, I came to you and I preached unto you. And as I preached unto you the gospel, he's going to talk about the reception of what he preached. Again, for this cause also, we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. It effectually works in you that believe. Now, let me look at something here. Let's see where I'm going to go. Here it is. And this verse out of the Amplified Classic says this, and we also especially thank God continually for this, that when you received the message of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of mere men, but as it truly is, the word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising its superhuman power in those who adhere to and trust in and rely on it. So the Word of God has such immense power. And you look that word up, this is accurate. Because when you look it up, you look up where it talks about the working, and it talks about superhuman, beyond human power. So this is very accurate. But what I want you to understand is what God is giving us in the written word is not the mere word of men, and what I am giving to you is not the mere word of Earl. This is the word of God. And as it is the word of God, it has the power to transform your life. It has the power to get you over the hump. It has the power to take you to new places, and it has the power to do what you could never do on your own. The Word of God is one of the most wonderful things that there is. I know I talk about the Word of God a lot, but I just cannot get away from it. It is the Word of God, and it is so precious to me. So, as we begin, I'm going to begin in a couple other places here, and then we'll get into Colossians, and we probably won't get very far into it tonight. But I have the freedom in this church to go wherever God takes us. And I do not take that for granted, because I have not had that freedom everywhere I've been. And God needs to get things accomplished, and so if we pray the whole time, we pray the whole time. We'll get done what God wants done, and what I've got in my notes, if it's not what He wants done, we want it done what He wants done. So anyway, let's go over to Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1 and verse 53, and we're just going to look at one verse here. Luke chapter 1 and verse 53. He hath filled the hungry with good things. Just put it up in the King James. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty, or sent empty away. But that first part of it, he hath filled the hungry with good things. Now, turn over to Psalm 111. Psalm 111 and verse 5. Psalm 111 and verse 5. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Now, you're going to find out as we get into this and that we're going to look at some things that he says, but he is ever mindful of what he has said to us, and he watches over his word to perform it. So then we'll get into Matthew chapter 5. If you know anything about the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5 is what we refer to. It's actually part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's the Sermon on the Mount, and the section we're going to be looking at, just one verse, is what's referred to as the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are a section of the Sermon on the Mount. And so we get to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, what was it he said there in the previous verse that we had looked at there in Luke? He said, he hath filled the hungry with good things. He's filled the hungry with good things. And there in Matthew, again, he said, blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So what we hunger and thirst after, if it's the right thing, God will fill you. God will fill you. He'll fill you with good things. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You've heard me talk about this. I've taught on this a lot. But when it says hunger and thirst, it is more than merely desire. Mere desire alone is not hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst is desire amplified, desire intensified, desire on steroids. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4, Proverbs 13 and verse 4, it says, the soul of the sluggard desires. So, but what does it say? He has nothing. So it's got to be, hunger and thirst is more than desire. It is desire intensified, desire amplified. The soul of the sluggard desires but has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat or shall be abundantly supplied for. So desire intensified, amplified, desire on steroids, as I said, that is desire that is so intense, can't live without it, and it leads to diligent pursuit. Hunger and thirst is desire intensified to the degree that I cannot live without this, and it leads to a diligent pursuit. So when Jesus said, blessed are those which do hunger and thirst, but what were they hungering and thirsting for? Righteousness. Blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So it is that hunger and thirst, it is that desire intensified that leads to a diligent pursuit of righteousness. Well, what is righteousness? Well, let's look at this really quickly out of the book of Romans, and we're just going to look at a single verse, Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Romans 14 and verse 17. Not 7, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but what is it? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when he actually talked about hungering and thirsting, which leads to that intense desire that is more than just a desire, it's more than a longing, it's more than I'd like to have this, it's more than a hope, it's that which is so intense, I must have this, that leads to a diligent pursuit. What's he talking about us pursuing? The kingdom of God. He's talking about pursuing the kingdom of God. And what did he say? Blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with what they're hungering and thirsting after, which is righteousness, but it is the kingdom of God. So, when we begin looking at the Word of God, what we're doing and what we're going to be looking at in Colossians is the kingdom of God, and I'm going to put it this way, the kingdom of God manifesting in the earth through you. Manifesting in the earth through you. And that is something that we all, I think, want. But there is such beauty in the Word of God that talks about this. So that's kind of the preface to where we're going to be going in Colossians. So let's just go over to Colossians chapter 1. And we'll begin in verse 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, or Timothy, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's verses 1 and 2. Let's go back to verse 1 again. And yes, we may be stuck on verse 1 tonight. I know that. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Now, when he says this, this speaks of calling. We need to know our calling, and we need to fulfill our calling. We need to know what God has called each of us to do, and then we need to fulfill that. Paul actually talks about this, his calling, over and over and over again in the letters that he wrote to the churches. Almost every one of them, he says, Paul, an apostle. Paul, an apostle. He talks about his calling. And you look at it, and we'll get into verse 2 here in a minute too. But he talks here about his calling. And his calling is by the will of God. So that calling is not your choice of what you want to do. It is God's choice of what he wants you to do. You realize that every human being on the planet, God has a plan for their life, even the lost. He has a plan laid out for them. Whether they walk in it or not is the big question. And of course, that begins with them being born again. But it doesn't stop there. And oftentimes, we make decisions based upon our preference, our likes. We'll choose a church based upon our likes. We'll choose a church based upon what we like or what we think we want. And we will even say, I need, but it's really not. Because if we will choose where God wants us to be, we'll be exactly where he wants us to be, getting exactly what he wants us to get if we'll hook in. And if we will hook in, we'll get that, but often people will start out there, but they have in their mind, I need this. And as a result, they take themselves out of God's best. Happens over and over and over again. People will tell you, I went to this church, but we left there and we went over here because they had a better children's program. love children. Want to have good children's programs. But guess what? Where God wants you to be is where you're going to get what you need. And if God wants you at that other church, don't leave. Yeah, but they don't have anything for kids. And, you know, I've got my child, and so we need to go somewhere. Realize if everybody did that, the church wouldn't have any children in it. If we get the people that God calls to a church, we will have a children's program. We will. But we have this mentality that I have to have it now. That's been programmed into the American church. God didn't program that into us. How many of you have a microwave at home? I love the microwave. It's a good thing. It really is. But our mentality is microwave. I want it. I want it now. Matter of fact, I wanted it a while ago. I don't know why it wasn't ready yet. Even the microwave isn't quick enough for me. Paul, when he said an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, he did not choose that. How many of you know who Keith Moore is? Keith Moore is a tremendous man of God. Rhema graduate. He was an instructor at Rhema while I was there. He was very close with Brother Hagin. And he's not a perfect man, I'll tell you that. But he is a very good man and has tremendous revelation on the Word of God. Walks in authority like very few people I've ever been around. Not that I've been around him closely, but... you know, he talked about, because he pastors a large church in Branson. And he had some people come to him and say, Brother Moore, I really think we should do this. And he said, why would I do what you want done? I don't even do what I want done. What he was saying is, if my will differs from God's will, we're going with God's will. And Paul, you got to understand something about him. This was an extremely learned man. I've heard, you know, I've read things about him. He was maybe the greatest intellect on the planet at that time when he was alive. He was absolutely brilliant. Read his writings. Yes, the Holy Ghost gave him that. Why do you think the Holy Ghost chose him? He was absolutely brilliant. I mean, as far as the way things are written, he had such understanding of the Old Testament. When he got born again, he had all of this revelation that he brought in, and Jesus himself took him aside and taught him what we call the ministry of grace. Brilliant man. Understood the Old Testament. He could relate to the Jews. And God sent him to the Gentiles. Makes no sense at all. None whatsoever. But God's choice was what he chose. He hooked up with God. So, calling. Paul, an apostle of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Verse 2. To the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace. And you could say, grace be unto you and peace be unto you. Now, when he makes this statement, it's easy to read this and think this is just an introduction. And you'll read commentaries about this, and they'll tell you this is just an introduction. This is not just an introduction. He says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace. The instant that he wrote that and it was read in the congregation, grace and peace were released through that letter. Now, it's not just an introduction. I can take you through Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd, you know, Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. I can take you through all of these, and the ones that are written by Paul, almost every one of them, he is releasing unto them grace and peace. Now, with Timothy, he wrote the two letters to Timothy. He also releases mercy. You got to understand, there is a power in your words. And when it was read, that power that he wrote into that, it was written in there. Why? Because it came from who? Not from Paul. Let's read this again. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ Jesus, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace. From God. Now, he mentions here, and you need to grasp this too, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus, the Christ. That doesn't use the word the. Christ is a title. It's not his last name. And it's not a swear word. So he mentions the Father, he mentions the Son, and he mentions the Holy Ghost when he uses the word Christ. Because the word Christ is the anointed one and the anointing. So it actually mentions that this is coming from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when he wrote this, and you'll find when you read the book of Acts and the epistles, and when you actually read the Gospels as well, you find Jesus preached the same thing everywhere he went. Paul preached the same thing everywhere he went. It's not a different gospel. And that's why when you read this, grace and peace be unto you, grace and peace be unto you, grace and peace be unto you. There was a release. Peace is pretty easy to understand, but it's more, it's deeper than what we understand at face value. It is not just peace of mind. You realize you can make a very, 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 very bad and ungodly decision and have peace of mind. You say, what do you mean by that? You made a decision, you were in turmoil, you needed to make a decision, so you made a decision, and it's, whew. You can make a bad decision and have peace of mind. This is not talking about peace of mind. This is talking about a release of the very peace of God into your spirit. And it will come in, and you have peace in you already, but when there is a release from God of peace, it multiplies. So that peace of God, but then the grace of God. The grace of, and I know it'll take us 16 years to get through Colossians. But we need to understand these things. The grace of God, you know, most people think that's just to get people saved. Who was this written to? This was written to the body of Christ. They're already saved. Grace has, it's multifaceted. There is the saving grace of God, and it is one of the most wonderful things that there is. It's intertwined and very closely connected with mercy. And most people actually confuse grace and mercy. They actually have in their mind what mercy is when they're using the word grace. They're wrong. And mercy is awesome. But those two things are very close, and they're very closely connected. You'll find them in some of the scriptures about salvation. Grace and mercy are intertwined. Grace is that whereby we are saved. We have the saving grace of God. But what is it? Well, I'll give you some definitions for grace. Grace is an acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. It is the package of redemption. It's everything you need. He left you short in nothing. It is also, and here's where we'll get grace and mercy, and I'll define the two. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. And that's where most people miss it, is they're actually thinking,
God hasn't given me what I deserve. That's actually mercy. And grace is getting what I don't deserve. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death. So, who is deserving of death? According to Romans 3, everybody. So the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have the intertwining of grace and mercy in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, not getting what you do deserve. That's mercy. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Getting what you don't deserve. That's grace. And again, it is that entire package of all that you need. And then there's another aspect of grace. And this aspect of grace is this. It is the empowerment of God to do what He wants you to do. It is the empowerment of God to do what He wants you to do. And a beautiful section of Scripture about this is in 1 Corinthians, and there's lots of Scriptures about it, but this one is very vivid, and it's beautiful. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10. And Paul here talks about not being worthy. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet or not worthy to even be called an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church of God. What he's saying here is, if we were looking at worthiness, and if we were looking at this from an external position, you would say, there is no way this man will ever be called an apostle. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Going into verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Who's they all? The other apostles. He's not being arrogant here. He's just saying, I have given myself completely and totally to what God's called me to do. I have worked at this. I have given myself to this. But again, he says, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. What he is saying here is, everything that you will ever see me accomplish, everything I have accomplished, I am in the midst of accomplishing, and I will accomplish, is done by the empowerment of God to do what He wants me to do, which is called grace. So when Paul said, grace be unto you, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, what he was doing was he was saying unto them, my God has a message for you. This message is four chapters long. But the introduction to this is not something you need to overlook. He released power unto them at the very onset of this book. Grace, yes, you're born again. Yes, you're walking in that grace and not, you know, not getting what you deserve, mercy, but getting what you don't deserve. They're learning to walk in grace. You find all throughout this book, and by the way, 1 and 2 Corinthians has a tremendous amount of correction in it. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians has an incredible amount of correction in it. Ephesians has some correction in it. Philippians. I don't know that there's any in Philippians. If there is, it's very little.
And Colossians, I don't think there's a single word of correction. This is a book that was written, and this, as you read this book, you should be encouraged. He tells you that you are complete in Christ. He tells you that all of your sins, all of your mistakes, everything you've ever done wrong, everything that you should have done that didn't, it was nailed to the cross some 2,000 years ago. This section of Scripture, this book is one of the most beautiful books in the Bible. It's only 4 chapters long. But man, is it. It's absolutely beautiful. But it talks so much about grace and what God has provided you with. Grace and peace be unto you. He is releasing unto them the empowerment of God to do what God's called them to do. Grace and peace be unto you. Now let's read on a little bit more, and we'll get into it next week. So again, he says there in verse 2, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. The amazing thing here is, and I'm going to mention this and then I'm going to begin wrapping it up. But in the second chapter of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says there, he says there in that section of Scripture, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them of Laodicea, how great a struggle I have for you, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. You need to understand, Paul did not get these people born again. Let's go back there again to the first chapter and verse 3, verses 3 and 4. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, then going into verse 4, since we heard of your faith. See, he was not there. He doesn't take credit for it. But he does, like I said, in the second chapter in that verse 1, he says, I long to see you so that I can impart unto you something. But here he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, he says, we're praying for you. And then in verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So when Paul heard about somebody getting born again, you want to know what he did? He did not say, man, I wish I had been there. I'd have got them saved. I'd have got them saved quicker. No, he said, man, I'm so excited. There are people at Colossae that got born again. And he dropped to his knees and he prayed for them and he prayed for them and he prayed for them over and over and over again. I don't care where somebody gets born again. I'm just excited when somebody gets born again. And when somebody gets born again and it begins to be told to you, you need to begin to pray for them. Begin to pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would bring them revelation of the Word of God, that He would show them how to walk by faith and not by sight, that He would teach them how to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, that He would teach them that they have provision above and beyond their job, that He would teach them that God is for them, not against them, that God is a good God, not a bad God. You pray for them because they don't know anything. And that's what Paul did. He got excited. Somebody else led them to the Lord. He mentions Epaphras here in a little bit. And he actually ministered with Epaphras. They crossed paths, and their paths crossed, and they had much in common. Matter of fact, at the tail end of the 4th chapter, he mentions Epaphras or Epaphroditus. I don't remember. It's the same person. It's like Mike and Michael, you know. Like Miss B and Barbara. But anyway,
He was really excited when they got born again. But, you know, Epaphras was the one who led them to the Lord. And he heard about it, and when he did, he began praying for them. I rejoice. Well, their doctrine's not quite like ours. Are they born again? Then pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Because when you pray for them, and you pray according to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will move. I'm telling you. I might have to quit. It's 10 after. Father, we thank you. This is the day that you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I thank you that you've not left us without the weaponry that we need. We have the armor of God, but you also said you've given us a mouth and wisdom. And with that mouth, if we use the wisdom of God, oh dear Lord, mighty things can be done. I thank you for imparting unto the body of Christ what you want done. And God, if you want to wake us up in the middle of the night, that's okay. You want to have us stop during the middle of the day and pray for people, that's okay. What you want done, we want done. Lord, your love is beyond my comprehension. Oh, but I experience it every day. And God, I don't want people going into hell. My heart grieves. Approaching 8 billion people on the planet. And God, so many of them don't know you. So many of them don't know you. Lord, all of my intellect and my strength of soul and mind doesn't mean that I've got an issue. But it is never going to be enough. But with you, those impossible things, well, what can we do about it? If we have a word from you, we can hook up with you. And God, I thank you for using this body this week. Lord, these people, including myself, have made you our God, the Most High God. We've made you our habitation. We truly dwell in you, and you truly dwell in us. And as a result of that, I'm going back to the Old Testament, but it still applies. Because we've made you our habitation, no evil shall befall us. No evil shall befall us, neither shall any plague come nigh our dwelling. Not just the house in which we live, but the house, the body that we have as well. No evil shall befall us, neither any plague come nigh our dwelling. If any sickness, any disease comes near us, doesn't matter even if it's written in the Bible or not. You said there in Deuteronomy chapter 28, any other curse or any other disease that is not even written in there was included. So it has no right to us. It cannot attach to us. No, it cannot attach to us. No evil shall befall us, neither any plague come nigh our dwelling, for you give your angels charge over us. The angelic hosts surround us. Oh, you give your angels charge over us. They keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we even dash our foot against a stone. We shall tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and dragon. We shall trample underfoot. All the power of the enemy, no matter how much he may have, is under our feet. And nothing, no power of the enemy shall by any means harm or hurt us. We walk in that authority that you've given unto us. And God, we exercise that. And we stick with you. We stick with what we know, which is the Spirit of God. I thank you for taking the people safely home. I thank you for God giving us the proper destinations. We may have set in our mind, I'm going here. But God, if that's not the destination you have for us, then God, give us the proper destination and we'll follow you. For we know your voice, and Holy Spirit, we will say, yes. And we will fulfill that by going to the destinations that you have for us. We'll get where you want us to be. We'll say what you want us to say. in the right attitude, in the right way, at the right moment. And we will accomplish what you want accomplished. And God, some of those things we will accomplish are mighty, but we will not see the results of them in the here and now. But some of them we will. And I trust you that your word is true. And when we do what we're supposed to do, God, it may be planting. It may be watering. It may be harvesting. It may be building. Whatever it is, God, I thank you that we will accomplish the will of God even this week. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.